Hey guys, it's your host Kat, and we're coming from right here on Youth Beat Radio. And one of the bigger issues that's going on right now is none other than the presidential race. And we have two candidates. We have the President Barack Obama. His running mate is Vice President Joe Biden. And then we have the Republican candidate, who is Governor Mitt Romney, and his running mate Paul Ryan. One thing I want to make sure I tell everybody before we get into the discussion is that I'm not here to endorse any particular candidate at all. I'm not here to force or push anybody to feel the way that I feel. Actually, I'm just here to get some facts flowing, get some juices flowing, and get some conversation started, whether it's at your dinner table with your friends, people you're listening with. October 9th was the last day to register to vote, so I hope that everybody did go out and do that. Everyone who is able to vote and everybody who plans on voting, I hope that you all got your current addresses updated so that you can go and vote on November 2nd. There actually is early voting too, and there's also what we call absentee ballots, and those are for people who live somewhere other than where they go to school, or they're working in another state, or I even think that military people that are stationed from one place to another, I think that they're actually a part of the absentee ballot system too. That's something that I also should research and look up, because I'm not sure about the whole military thing. If you're not going to vote, you can have opinions, but what can you say if you choose not to vote for anybody? If you choose not to get involved in politics and get involved in the democratic decisions that we're able to make, we have the liberty of voting, and we have the liberty of putting our democratic opinions on the line so that we can get the country to move in a certain direction. So if you are registered to vote, I'm really pushing for people to go out there and vote, not for any particular candidate, but just go out there and vote and make sure that you get your voice heard, because your vote does count. So one thing I'm going to bring up today is fact checking, and I'm a really big fact checker. I like to follow a couple of different fact checkers, like on Twitter. I like to see them on TV. There's the Truth Buster by NBC, and they have that segment on their programming. But also on Twitter, there's PolitiFact, and that's at PolitiFact, PolitiFact. And that's one of the pages or the accounts that are going to check a lot of the political facts that are getting put out there for people to hear. I actually followed them while I was watching the debate. It cleared a lot of things up. It helped me to follow some of the things that, like, misperceptions that are put out there. And it also corrects not only one party, but both parties. It has no bias. Well, that's what fact checkers are supposed to do. They're supposed to be unbiased checkers of all facts or misperceptions. The other fact checker that I like to follow is factchecker.org, and that's factchecker.org. That's where I like to go and start my research. Mind you, I said start. That's where I like to start my research. I'm not really big on just listening to what one candidate will say or another candidate will say and just take it from there. I'm not big on that. And this is actually the first time that I'm able to vote. In 2008, I wasn't able to vote. I was only 17, and it was a bummer because I turned 18 after that already, you know, did the voting. So after I watched the debate, I'm going to have to say that I'm still very, very jumbled on who I'm going to vote for. And the issue that I have is that I have so many different ads coming up on my television screen. I have so many people telling me who's good for this and who's not good for that. But the issue is there's so many different people and campaigns and ads that are just coming out of nowhere. And I know I'm not the only person who feels like this. I know there are plenty of people who feel like they're bombarded with information, and a lot of the information is not true. That's what the fact checkers are for. They're not supposed to be your go-to persons or go-to groups, anything like that. They're supposed to get you started on your research. And that's one thing I've been trying to do during this entire campaign is just research, research, research. I like to start off you know, if I hear something that interests me, I'm going to look up articles online about it. But you also have to check the sources of these articles, because one article may endorse something and they may have a bias. You never know. The person that wrote the article could be a Mitt Romney supporter or a Barack Obama supporter, or they could be actually on their campaign team for all you know. So you can't really take what they say, because obviously they're going to be somewhat biased in what they're telling you. So if there's anybody that watched the debate or anybody who didn't watch the debate, there's a lot of things I've been hearing from other fellow college students that I go to school with. I take a political science class right now. We've done a lot of talking about the debates. We've done a lot of talking about fact checking too. And actually one of my teachers made us do some fact checking and taking notes and things like that. And we had to actually come back and tell him about all the things that we checked and all the facts that we checked. And a lot of the things that were said were half truths. Some of them were misleading. And a half truth, you know, some people say, oh, well, if it's not true, it's a lie. That's not necessarily the case. Basically, what a half truth is something that can be very misleading. It sounds true when you first hear it, but it's also words that kind of are twisted around so that it implies something else. Like, for example, PolitiFact.org, they are talking about one of the things that Mitt Romney says. One of his ads says that a woman was put out of work. She had a small business, things like that. And they were talking to this woman on the ad, and they said that since President Barack Obama took office, that there are 450,000 more women unemployed than when he started. And that is true, but it's also a half-truth, because it implies that President Barack Obama is the reason why there are so many more people or so many more women unemployed. They didn't really put in there that a lot of these issues are being pushed by other boundaries or outside effects. There are women who are choosing not to work right now. There are women who are having children. That affects population. So there's a population difference from when he started than now. Some women are actively choosing not to work. Some women are actively choosing not to look for a job. There are some women who are taking time off work. There are people who are retiring. There are so many reasons why there may be 450,000 more people unemployed than when he started, women in particular. You know, that's an example of a half-truth.
You are listening to Youth Beat Radio, voice to empower on WCRS. This is your girl, Ileana Nomaki Corfius.
I want
to
hear that.
Me too. Being that it is October, politics aren't the only thing running through people's minds. Transition!
It's Halloween time.
Jen Annis Hansley has your latest costume trends.
Special Halloween trend watch this week. I was lucky enough to speak with one of my professors in the Fashion and Retail Studies department, who is also president of Costume Specialists on East Broad Street. In addition to knowing fashion, she knows the hottest Halloween costumes that will keep you trending even on Halloween.
The current popular culture trends that are trending among Halloween costumes.
Well, the new hot ones are superheroes of any kind, probably because of the movies this year, the Avengers being one of them. Superheroes are really strong, and we have older ones and contemporary ones. And then neon in general has been hot. We have a whole category of neon accessories, anything from tutus and neon glasses, neon gloves, neon Crayola costumes, because that's the new color for Crayola crayons, neon fishnets, neon gloves, neon makeup, neon everything, hair even.
Do you know what people are dressing as when they're buying?
Well, they're actually doing the accessory thing with that and having fun. They may be blending it with some of their own clothes. Some people were doing 80s stuff with it. Sometimes it's a fantasy creature. Sometimes it's a fun, funky little clown or a cute, sweetie clown. All different kinds of things. Fairies, neon fairies.
What are a few classic costumes or pieces that are a hit every year?
Pirates have been strong for a really long time. We still sell a lot of scary costumes, so werewolves and vampires and Draculas and witches. But That this year, for some reason, gypsies, and probably because of what's going on television, the gypsy wedding thing. So sort of old traditional gypsies. The other thing is Victorian costumes have been around for a long time, but the steampunk part of that has been an interesting trend. So it sort of stretched out that period a little bit longer. Flappers and gangsters. Zombies are huge, and we do a lot of work with zombie walk. With the new one is like biohazard zombies, so with the neon green, so interesting combination of trends.
What are some good costumes for girls that aren't sexy that maybe teenage girls could wear that parents would approve of?
Teen girls, you know, want to be young and hip. So you've got the superhero stuff. You can be a Cleopatra or a Southern Belle. I think pirates, the teens like pirates too, and space stuff.
And why don't the sexy costumes look as sexy on real people as they do on the models?
Oh, because they make the production samples are usually 3 or 4 inches shorter, so they look great on stage. Thank goodness.
What is the most original costume you sell?
Well, this year we added a red Solo cup with a straw to our collection, and it's rented, I think, several times already. I don't know if they're recording the song and carrying it around with it or what, but it's cute, and so we try to pick up on trends like that.
What's your most popular rented costume for Halloween?
The rentals usually are near the end, and you know, we're like a week or so out still, so the rentals will really pick up next week. We do a lot of Star Wars. We have a Darth Vader and a Wookiee, and other than that, for some reason, the gangsters always go well, but the Western guys, you know, with their holsters and their hats and their dusters.
And if somebody is on a budget and they want to spend $20 or less, what's your best suggestion?
Well, I say find something in your closet, like a base dress, like, or you could go buy one at the thrift store for a couple bucks. Like, you could buy a basic black dress, and this year you could be a witch and you buy a couple cheap accessories. Next year you could be a vampire. The year after that you could become a pirate by adding accessories. So I say accessories, accessories, accessories.
Accessories! Those are important faux show. You know what else is important? That election we were talking about. And one of the top issues on young voters' minds are student loans. Katara Smith elaborates.
So, a couple of issues of the debate. They talked about the economy, they talked about taxes and jobs, and they also talked about student loan forgiveness and internet censorship. Now, one thing that's been a really big issue for me, especially because I'm a college student, has been the student loan forgiveness. And that's something that will probably sway my decision of who I'm going to vote for, because there are some misperceptions that Mitt Romney is going to just totally say, you know, take it from your parents, we're going to stop the whole student loan debt thing altogether. But there are people who can't afford to do that. There are some people who are more wealthy than others, and there are some people who are less fortunate. So, you know, you have the people in the middle who don't make quite enough money to just give their kids $10,000 every semester to go to college. And then there are some families who are middle class but have several children, so they can't give $10,000 to 3 kids every semester. That's pretty much their entire living right there. But you have the people who are more fortunate than others who can just afford to do that. They can just go ahead and pay for everything. They give their kids money. They, you know, they pay for housing, things like that. And I'm one of those people that came from a middle-class family that we really couldn't afford to do that. There are some people who come from the less fortunate who have more opportunities too, because of like affirmative action or programs that are putting students through school that come from low-income families or first generation college students or people whose families have immigrated from another country. There's a lot of different reasons why people who have lower incomes get to go to school for almost free. And that's one of the things that kind of throws me for a loop a little bit too, because I come from a hardworking family. I'm a first generation college student. However, my mother wasn't able to put me through college on her own dime. So I had to borrow from the government, really. And that's one of the things, like I said, that's going to really sway who I vote for. It's arguably the number one concern right now for college students and college graduates. President Barack Obama has introduced the Student Loan Forgiveness Act, and that will allow graduates to repay loans at 10% of their income. So if they make a substantial amount of money, they only pay 10% of what they make, and it comes back, you know, they have a long time to pay it. But the issue is, you know, will it start increasing on the interest rates, things like that? There's some things that are unclear to people. And after 20 years, all debt is forgiven. But that's an issue that some people say, well, that's not fair because we have all this student loan money that's just been given out. And after 20 years, the debt is forgiven. What if it's not paid up? How's that going to affect our economy? So that is something to think about. It sounds good to college students like me, graduates, people who went to professional schools and have so much money that they have to repay and can't really afford to pay back. Teachers and nurses and those who join the military or public services will also have their debt forgiven after 10 years. So that's going to encourage a lot of people to become teachers, nurses, join the military. Those are all very important jobs because the teaching industry, something that I was reading not too long ago, the teaching industry is actually declining because there are people who are more concerned now with, you know, having other children as their responsibility, especially with all the rules and regulations of disciplining them and all the different violent crimes that have happened in schools. And then there's issues with salary, things like that, that's a totally different story. I'm going to go ahead and sway away from there because I have a strong opinion about being a teacher too. And the plan will reportedly save the federal government at least $58 billion, most of which will be used to strengthen Pell Grants, which, you know, grants, of course, they don't have to be paid back. They're non-repayable. And let's see, Governor Mitt Romney, he opposes the student loan forgiveness. He also has offered little to no solutions to the rising cost of tuition. He actually doesn't mind tuition going up, and he also thinks that your loan should not be forgiven. You should have to pay back in full, no matter how long it takes you, no matter how much money it takes out of your pocket. He thinks you should have to work harder to pay for your loans. If you can't afford it, then you have to find a way to afford it. So that's something that's kind of, you know, worrying me as a college student. Another issue is the internet censorship, and that's something that's really talked about least. So we just went from a topic that's talked about a whole lot, especially right here on the campus that I go to, but also talking about internet censorship, which is something that people don't talk about as much. Both the candidates have responded to sciencedebate.org questionnaires on the debate right there. And some of the questions were about internet censorship. Governor Mitt Romney doesn't really feel as though it's the government's job to manage the internet or to censor the internet. Now, some people totally feel like that's fair. I feel like that's fair in a way because the internet is a totally different society almost. The internet is like, you know, that's at pretty much at the wheels of the people who are posting on the internet, people who are making websites and organizations that have pages, and there's Facebook and there's Twitter and there's, you know, My Life, and there's so many different websites that people are joining to network with each other, to make money. YouTube is a way that people make a lot of money. Facebook is a way people make a lot of money. There's advertising, publicity, talent that's being found on the internet, things like that. But then there's also the vulgar side of the internet too, of course. Things that people are posting, there's hate messages and things that are bad images that, you know, certain people shouldn't be seeing, or things that, you know, you shouldn't have to read, or things that affect people personally on a social level. Those are issues that have been brought up about internet censorship. And a quote that Obama actually put out there was, he thinks it's important to strengthen our cybersecurity while continuing to recognize the civilian nature of cyberspace. So that kind of confused me a little bit. And I think that both candidates do a good job of wording things to where it's kind of hard to understand. But he said, strengthen our cybersecurity. What exactly does that mean? I'm going to let you answer that question yourself, actually, because this is what I'm challenging you to do. That's go out and do research and do some fact checking of your own and figure out what exactly does strengthen our cybersecurity mean? Does that mean to police the internet? Does that mean to fine people for posting certain things on the internet or watch people as they post? Is that an invasion of privacy? Is that fair? You know, some people have alternate lives on the internet too. They can be one person in public and then online they're a totally different person. You know, you can't be too sure what exactly cybersecurity is. You know, some people post things that are totally untrue. They could say that they're doing something online and then not be doing it in real life, and it could affect their lives totally. And that's also our responsibility, to make sure that we post things that we're not going to be regretful of or, you know, embarrassed about, or something that years from now, if someone looks us up on Facebook, they don't see something that would ruin our lives. And then, of course, there was the healthcare issues, economy and taxes and jobs and things like that. So I'm just encouraging everybody to go ahead and find their own information, find their own issues to look for, and to figure out what's really important to you. What do you feel like is going to really affect you? Is it the college student loans? Are there high school students out there that are listening that are like, I want to go to college. My mom can't afford to send me to school, or my dad can't afford to send me to school. How is that going to affect you in 10 years? How is this going to affect you 8 years from now, you know, when we either have the same president that comes for 4 years and then a new president 4 years after that, or a new president 8 years from January who has totally and completely switched up the entire basis of everything? How is that going to affect you years from now? How are tax increases going to affect small business owners or large businesses? Or how is tax increases on certain jobs going to affect your parents or your family members or you? Or, you know, do tax increases affect job availability? Is that something that we need to be concerned about? There's the issue of if you raise taxes on certain industries, then you have to be concerned about jobs not being able to afford more employees and being able to afford insurance that they have to supply for their employees, things like that. So if you increase taxes, will that affect the availability of jobs and availability of benefits? You have to remember that having a job is one thing, but having a good job that you can rely on for benefits and money and your way of life is a totally different thing. And then there's the issue of government-issued health care. Is that a good idea? Should everyone have to pay for health care for everyone? Should some people not have to pay for health care at all while some of us pay for it? Is there a good plan that kind of puts us in the middle? That's something that we have to look for. And even if there are plans that are being put out there by either candidate or their campaigns, you have to do your fact-checking. And I already told you about PolitiFact. I told you about factchecker.org. I've told you about Truthbusters, things like that. But there's also other people who are unbiased, who are just as objective as I am, because I'm very objective. I don't necessarily believe anything that either candidate says. So that's where I stand right now. And I'm hoping to be swayed one way or the other. But I'm having a difficult time knowing who I'm going to vote for. And I feel like a lot of people should still be on the fence. I'm not really in agreement with people who just like continuously make up their mind based off of party affiliation, or, you know, because their parents are a Democrat or a Republican, or they just agree with one issue. So they decide, oh, okay, this is who I'm going to vote for. You have to look at the big picture. You have to look at social issues like abortion and gay marriage, things like that. Are you okay with those things? Are you against those things? There's the issue of availability of birth control. And there's women's rights activists who feel like you should be against or for that. And they feel that, you know, if there are bans on certain types of birth control and things like that, they feel as though that's taking away their right to choose. So That's a big issue. The social issues are a really big deal. It's something you have to remember, that money and taxes and healthcare and things like that, student loans, those are big deals. Your way of life is not all money. It's not all about taxes and things like that. Your way of life is your way of living, your opinions, your freedom to choose, or your freedom to be with who you want to be with, or et cetera. Or if you're against that, your right to worship freely, if you want to do that, freedom of speech. You have to think of all the different social issues that are coming with each candidate that you may agree with or you may not agree with, and that's something you have to think of too, but not entirely. You have to think of all issues all the way around. So that's my take on everything that's going on right now. We have another debate that will be right before the election itself. There's early voting, so I'm encouraging everyone to vote a little bit early or wait till the last minute, whatever fits you, whatever you feel more comfortable with. But I'm still on the fence. So you guys can also get in contact with me on the Youth Beat Radio Facebook page if you have any comments, if you have any questions or any facts that you want me to go back and check for you, or links that you want for me to post for you that you can get some more information on, anything like that. So I'll be looking forward to hearing from you guys. And like I said, this is Kat right here on Youth Beat Radio. You can find us online at youthbeat.osu.edu and on Facebook.
You can email us at youthbeat@osu.edu. I'm your host, Ilyana Namaki Corpheus.
And I'm Kat.
Thanks for listening.
Youth Beat Radio is produced by youth from Central Ohio High School's youth groups and universities. The show is supported by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, the Puffin Foundation West, and local sponsors. The ideas expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the station or the sponsors.